All right, life. This thing called life. Prince, the singer Prince, who if you've been watching the news recently, you've seen him. He penned these words back in 1984. And that's what we talk about every Sunday. We talk about things that helped you to get through this thing called life. And we talk about a person who is the author of life, and he's the finisher of life, and he's the one who enables us to really get through this thing called life, and not just get through this thing called life, but get through this thing called life in a really good way, in a very fruitful way, in a very meaningful way. And that's why we're here every Sunday to talk and to celebrate the one who gives us life. For the past few weeks, we've been doing a series that we've called Better Together. And what I love about this series is that it really talks about a principle that we all know to be very, very, very true. That life, living solo, is a definite no-no. Let's just say this together. Life, living solo, is a... All right, let's try it one more time. Life, living solo... All right, let's try it one more time. I want to get you heard so that it gets on the recording. Life, living solo. All right, I want you to remember that. And so that's why we talk about it being better together. So we started a series, and in Easter, we said that first and foremost, there is a better life that you have when you turn from looking away from looking at something else to turn to look at Christ. To look at Jesus and start to follow Jesus, you get what the Bible says, you get everlasting life, you get abundant life. And we talked about the better life that's available in Jesus, in following Jesus. And then if we followed up, we talked about a better community and said that when you're part of a community of believers called the local church, and Andrew, this is like great, you know, that you did, it's a great sermon illustration here, is that you actually get even more benefits from that. You get a more effective life because none of us is a 10 in every area. All of us in one area, we are really good. The Lord has really blessed us in another area and God given us so much of that. For example, if I needed to reach up to unscrew a light bulb, I wasn't given the gift of height. But I have Omari around me. And Omari around me got that gift, but I got the gift of good looks. Omari does too. Omari doesn't have that. Omari's controlling the lights. You can see that the lights are going up and down. You can never mess with the AV guys because the AV guys have the power to shut you up. And so we said that when you're a zero in another area, somebody who's a 10 comes along and helps you so that you can be effective in all areas of your life. And then we talked about the value of friendships. And Calvin talked about that and said that really, it's really good to have really, really great friends around you. And then we talked about a couple weeks ago about marriage and said that really, if one person is walking alone, one person can only accomplish what one person can do. If two people are walking alone, two people can only accomplish what two people can do. But if two people are walking together, they can accomplish three things. And especially when you have three people walking together, husband, wife, and Jesus at the center, you can accomplish so many things. The world is open to you. So this week, we're going to be talking about the topic that I call deeper relationships. Before we go any further, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just have one word to ask this morning. That word is help. Lord, give me everything I need to deliver what you've laid on my heart. In Jesus' name. Amen. So you may be thinking, what else is there left to talk about? We've talked about everything. We've talked about getting a relationship with Christ. Check. We've talked about getting a relationship with a church. Check. We've talked about getting a relationship with friends. Check. We've talked about getting better relationships with your spouse. Check. And what else is there left to talk about? And I say that there is one more thing as we close this series out. And Jesus illustrated it. Jesus had 12 guys around him. And these guys knew everything about each other. Jesus did life with these 12 guys. These guys ate together, they slept together, they joked together, they played together, they did everything together. And so what would happen is that if you were looking for one other guy, if you were looking for John, you would say, "Hey, Peter, where is John?" And Peter could tell you where John's at. If something was going on in Matthew's life, you could go ask even Judas. And Judas could tell you what's going on in Matthew's life. The thing is that these guys did life together, and Jesus kind of was with them, and the 13 of them did life together, and they got through that thing called life. And so they develop a really, 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 really close bond and a close relationship with each other. And so when Jesus died and Jesus went to heaven, the question really would have been in my mind is, okay, so what now? So I'm going to pick up from there, right? So what happens in Acts 1, verse 15? The Bible tells us that there were 120 disciples, 120 followers of Jesus, believers in Jesus, and they were all in one room. So 120 people, which is, you know, probably, you know, about 20 more than we have between here and with our kids or so. And so they met together all in one room, and they were in one place. And the Bible tells us that something miraculous happened while they were there. So while they were there, it talked about the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit of the Lord coming down on them, and really, really wild things started to happen. It was like fire coming down, and people started speaking in different languages, and all the people who were around, they heard and they saw all these miraculous things happening. But then Peter got up, and Peter started to preach. And Peter started to preach, and Peter preached like there was no tomorrow. And when Peter made the altar call, the Bible tells us that 3,000 people got saved. 3,000 people came to follow the Lord. And it was kind of interesting that immediately the church went from 120 people to 3,120 people. And the thing that they did right after that, it said here in Acts 2:41, those who accepted his message, they were baptized. And there were about 3,000 added to their numbers that day. And then they did something else right after that. It says every day they met in the temple courts, because they didn't meet really inside the temple, they met outside in the courts. And they were continuing one mind, and they were breaking the bread in various private homes. They went house to house, and they were having house meeting as well as temple court meeting. They were having church meeting, and they were having small group meeting. They were having big celebration, large group celebration, and they were having small group celebration. And what did they do? Well, they do whatever people do when they get together. They ate meals together, and they had joyous and generous hearts. And later on, you see that they did some other things too, which is really cool. So the thing that Jesus started with his 12 disciples, when the church got to be 3,120 people, they continued doing the same thing. They continued meeting in people's houses as well as in church. And so, you know, the fact is that even after that happened, something else started to happen. And what started to happen was this, right? So we're now at 3,120 people, but the church started going through this period of growth, of unprecedented growth. And so we see here, just, let's see here, my clicker. There we go. In Acts 4:4, we see that just two chapters later, we see that about 15,000 people, the Bible says 5,000 men, and whenever you have men, you're going to have some women, and whenever you have men and women together, you're going to have some children. All right, so my guesstimation, and Bible scholar says there's about 15,000 people just two chapters later now added to the church. So 15,000. You fast forward a little bit, and one chapter later, they stop counting. They're now into multitudes of men and women who are now following Jesus, right? And then you fast forward one more chapter, and now they're not even adding anymore. Before they said 3,000 were added, now they're talking about multiplication. I mean, the church was like just like growing by leaps and bounds. And so what do they do? Well, they did everything Jesus did, that Jesus started. It tells us that they, every day, they met in the temple courts and from house to house. They did not stop teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus was Christ. They went, they had a big meeting, and they had the small meeting. And so the question is, why is that? Why would they continue meeting in the temple and house to house? Well, one reason could be that Jesus did it. So they just followed what Jesus did. Well, another reason could be, well, they said, maybe that's what's causing the church to grow. Another reason could be, maybe this is what we need to do to keep the church growing. We need to have these close relationships to keep the church growing. And I believe that all of that is true. But I believe that also there was something else that was very, very true as it relates to this, as to the reason why that is, right? And I believe that the real value could be summed up in something that really was for them. So let me fast forward along here. So they remembered something that Jesus said to them way back when, that when they thought about it, they said, we need to keep meeting in house to house and in small groups. So Jesus is walking with his disciples, and he does that all the time, right? They didn't have a car, they didn't have a bus, they were on foot, so they were either sitting and eating and sleeping, or in a boat, or they were walking. So Jesus is walking along with his disciples one day, and many of his conversations with disciples came along as he was walking along or over meals. And he says something to them that undoubtedly, at least it would have stuck in my mind, so I'm thinking it stuck in their mind too. He says this. Let's see what he says. Jesus said to his disciples, stumbling blocks are sure to come. He's walking on the disciples and says, hey guys, I got something to tell you. And the guys are like, hey what, Jesus? He's like, hey, stumbling blocks are bound to come. And these stumbling blocks are temptations and traps set to lure one to sin, right? So it's in the Amplified Version. It says, temptations and traps that can lure you into sin are bound to happen. That's what one version of the Bible says. They're bound to happen. In another version it says, and it's impossible that they not happen. Right? And if you read the original language in the way that they word the original language, it would have read something like this, something like what Yoda would say. It would say, impossible it is for stumbling blocks not to come. Impossible it is for stumbling blocks not to come. No matter what you do in life, stumbling blocks will come. There is nothing that you can do, no matter how much you try to keep your thoughts pure, no matter how much you try to be a good husband, a good wife, to be good parents, be good children, to be good employers, good employees, whatever you do, no matter what you do, know this. Impossible it is for stumbling blocks not to come. And you can pray about something, you can throw it before the Lord and says, Lord, and he's saying, impossible it is for stumbling blocks not to come. And these stumbling blocks really, really come about in many ways. Back then, they were going to face a period of persecution. And so they needed the strength, the support, the accountability that their close group of people would have provided. So they needed that. And so that's something that Jesus said, hey, stumbling blocks are going to come, and you're going to need people around you who's going to be your strength, your support, and they're going to be your accountability partners. Right? And he says, look, your stumbling blocks can come from many, 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 many different sources. How it plays out is this. You say you take a new job, And you take a new job and you meet some cool new people, or you go to college and you meet some people, and these people have some new philosophies that you never really heard about before. And something sounds like really, really good, and you're like, hey, I never really thought about that before. And before you know it, you're kind of like, you're kind of gravitating towards, you know, this new ideas, this new thinking. And it's at first it seems really close to like what you believed, but over time you see that it's a little bit different. And you start to be pulled away and lured away, and before you know it, you're completely down another path. It could be a new boyfriend or a new girlfriend who has powers. They got powers, and they may even be Christians. And they put some stuff out there that's like, man, I'm like right on the edge. I could just jump in right now. It could be the new person that your husband or your wife is hanging out with, giving them some new ideas about, hey, this is how your man's supposed to treat you. Or this is how your woman's supposed to treat you. It could be any of those things, and you could fill in a blank here, but impossible it is for stumbling blocks not to come. And so the question is, what do you do about that? What do you do about that? It's like, I can imagine the disciples saying, and you know, if you read the passage, it goes on to say, you know, it talks about forgiveness, and you know, in Luke 17. But the part I want to focus on this morning is the first part. And so the question is, what do you do when the stumbling blocks come? Well, the wisest man who ever lived, King Solomon, kind of talked about that. And Calvin mentioned it a couple weeks ago. Here's kind of what he says in Ecclesiastes. I'm going to take it back to something that we talked about a couple weeks ago. He says this: two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. We talked about that. That is the power of synergy, right? Two are better than one. We talk about one plus one equals three. When two are better than one. But then he goes on to say this in verse 9. He says, so if either of them falls down, one can help the other up. Well, that makes sense. Two are better than one. So if one falls, one can help the other one. But this is the part that I want to focus on this morning, which it says here, but pity anyone who falls, and has no one to help them up. Pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. You know, as leaders of this church, we get requests all the time. You know, people come to us with various needs and different requests. And they, you know, they come to us, and that's biblical, right? And so one of the questions that always goes through our mind is this: are you involved in a small group of 12 or 13 people or less? And quite often, the answer to that question is no. More times than not, the answer to the question is no. The answer is not yes. And you know the reason why the answer is no? Because when you're part of a small group and you stumble, your small group is there to pick you up. And many times we need a small group. Even better than that, you're not even allowed to stumble, because they see the stumbling block coming your way and they're like, hey, watch out. Hey, watch out. You go in and they're like, hey, there's a cliff there. And you go close to the cliff and they come and they hold you and they grab you and they pull you back. And that can be stuff. That can be stuff like finances. That can be stuff like bad friendships. That can be stuff like bad decision. Now, just this past week, Pastor Dante and I went to a pastor's conference at Calvary Chapel in Fort Lauderdale, pastor's prayer meeting and stuff. And so, and coming back in the car, and Pastor Dante and I aren't part of the same small group, and we're coming back in the car, and he's like, well, first he was telling me, well, we got to go home because I'm meeting a workman at my house. And so I'm like, okay. So going back to his house, and the workman calls when he's in the car, and Pastor Dante is talking to him, and he gets off the phone, and he says, hey, the workman's at my house. He's going to fix my sliding door, and he says it's going to be $300 to fix the door. He's there. What do you think? I'm like, man, I got mine fixed for 80. He's like, $80? He calls up the guy and he's like, no, thank you. And I told him, I said, the guy told me there's a little screw at the bottom of the door. You turn that screw and it raises the door and the door can slide. That's what you get when a $300 stumbling block comes in your path. And he probably doesn't want me to say this, but you know, his contract ended, and so Pastor Don right now isn't working, and so that $300 is a big deal. But even better than that, that spurred on another thought. He called up my father-in-law, who came over with another brother, and they fixed it for $20. Impossible it is for stumbling blocks not to come. If either falls, one can pick the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. And you know, and that's the greatest thing, right? That's the greatest thing that we have. We have somebody around. Now, what's interesting is that many times, we enjoy the stumble. You know, we're like walking and you're walking along and you stumbled on something and you drop down on the ground. It's like, hey, it's not bad down here. And you start to waddle around in the mud and you're getting all dirty. To most normal people looking at you, they say, dude, that's dirt. You don't want to be in the dirt. But you, it's like, hey, it's kind of cool. Literally, it's cool. You know, it's muddy and stuff, and it's cool. And oftentimes, when a family member comes by and tries to pick you up, you're like, leave me alone, I'm good. And, you know, many times, like if a husband is stumbling and a wife comes along and tries to tell him, like, hey, you're going off the deep end, you don't want to hear nothing from his wife. If a kid is stumbling and they don't want to hear anything from their parents. But they'll listen more so than not to somebody else who's along the side who is like, look, you're in the dirt, man. I'm going to pick you up. It's like, I don't want to be picked up. I'm like, I don't ask you if you want to be picked up. Get three or four other guys and we're going to lift you up. How that plays out is somebody, and I'm using, you know, husband and wife may be having some marital issues and there's another girl, and there's always another girl. Let me tell you my experience. For guys, generally speaking, guys never leave a relationship without another girl. Women will leave it because you're just fed up with the dude. But guys just generally, and so what will happen is that people come along and like, no, I am not going to be there. There's a brother of mine that one time he went out with this girl. He wasn't married at the time. And he went out with this girl. And I'm like, look, I don't trust that girl. This is me talking to him. I don't trust that girl. I'm going to call you every half an hour on your date. And when I wasn't calling him, I was texting him. And by the way, I'll tell you what I said, because you know I'm very straight up. I was texting him, I'm like, hand check. You know what hand check is? Check your hands, man. Check your hands. And I was like warning him. And he said to me when he came back, he's like, man, I thank you for those texts, man. Because she was dangerous. Like Michael Jackson talks about her. She was stumbling blocks are bound to come. When you think about it for a moment, that if you grew up in a home without a father, what would it look like if your father was involved in a small group? If you grew up in a home that was full of turmoil, what would it look if your mother and father were involved in a small group with other married folks? What would it look like? What would it look like if you're going through troubles at work? And you have lost your job. What would it look like if you had a group of people who gave you tips on how to do that? What would it look like if you can't get a job? And you interview and interview and interview and interview and you can't get a job. What would it look like if you had a bunch of people around you said, hey, let me do a mock interview with you. Let me help you to give you some tips, some ideas. What would it look like? if you had a group of people around you that when you fall, when you're stumbling, they were there to pick you up. Because pity anyone who falls and has no one to pick them up. Singles, there are some unique challenges that you face. Single women especially. I say single men too, but I talk about single women. And so, what would it look like if you were in a group with other women around your age? What would it look like if you were in married ladies, if you were in a group with other ladies? What would it look like? Parents, what would it look like if your kids were in an environment where somebody could speak truth into their lives that's not you? Because remember, oftentimes kids don't want to hear from their parents, but they'll hear from somebody else. Young people, high school, what would it look like if you're around a bunch of other high school students talking about stuff and stuff that's led by other students who are just 2 or 3 years older than you in college, who can feel your pain and know exactly what it went through? What would it look like? What would it look like if you served together as a bunch of people together, serving together towards a common mission? Because there's nothing like working together. When you work together and you're working together on something inadvertently, what's going to come out is some personal stuff. And you hear stuff and you pick stuff up. And then you can offer a word of assistance. Any of you guys don't know what I'm talking about? Think about the people you work closely, most closely with at work. See if they don't know stuff that's going on in your life. What would it look like if that was in the church, that you had a group of people? I can just mention a couple things like our camp committee, where we work for an entire year together, and then we spend 5 days together, locked away up in Leesburg with 150 kids or whatever the number of kids are. What would it look like if you had that? What would it look like if your kids had other kids beside them who could bounce ideas off? What would it look like? You see, stumbling blocks are bound to come. Temptations that snare you and trip you up. It doesn't necessarily have to do that, right? You can see some of them. But inadvertently, there is that one thing, that two things, three things, that can trip you up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. You know, one of the things that we believe at PCC, Pioneer Community Church here, is that circles are good. Circles are really, really good. And it's good to be inside the circle as opposed to be outside of the circle. And so we have these circles, and I'm using circles synonymously with the word groups. We have groups. Now, I believe very, very clearly that when you are looking away, there are two groups of people, two gigantic groups of people in this world. Those are looking away at Jesus, and those are looking to follow Jesus. So if you're looking away from Jesus, I'll tell you this morning that you're outside of the group that's looking towards really a more fulfilling and abundant life. Right, because Jesus, we've said, is the giver of life. And I just encourage you to, if you're one of those that are looking someplace else other than to Christ, I want to encourage you this morning is to just do one thing. I'm not asking you to go and you know, say a sinner's prayer, and I'm not asking you to do that. All I'm asking you to do is to turn and say, what would it look like if I tried to pattern my life the way Jesus lived his life? What would it look like if I tried to do that? Well, the other way, you know how Jesus lived his life, is to read the Gospels, the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you see how Jesus lived his life, and you said, okay, let me try and live like that. So once you start to do that, you're now in this bigger group of the people who are working their way towards their following Jesus. So Jesus, imagine Jesus being over here, right? And there are different people all along the path, and you're facing this direction, and you turn around and he's like, okay, I have, as Pastor Jerry talked about this week, I have decided to follow Jesus. So you kind of turn around and you start looking towards him. When that happens, you're now part of this big circle. The circle is so big that it goes off the page. It's like really, really big. There's about 1.5 billion people who claim Christianity. And by the way, our next series, we're going to talk about that. Next series is called Speaking of Jesus. And it's, we're going to start it in 2 weeks' time. But anyway, imagine that, this big world. So anybody in the black area outside are those people who are looking another way. Anybody who's looking towards Jesus and have made a decision and says, you know what, I am going to follow Jesus, they're in that blue circle. So we're going to call them followers of Jesus, is in that circle. So we believe that being in that circle is much better than being outside of the circle. And we talked about that over and over again. But then there's another circle, and Andrew stepped over it today. That circle is being part of a local church. And you see the circle starts to get a little bit smaller. And so, it's my clicker. So we see, within the context of here what we're talking about, that circle is Pioneer Community Church. Once you get involved in a local church, what happens is that you start to get some of those benefits that I've been talking about of being in a closer-knit circle. But we believe that, as obviously, as being in the inner circle, you're still part of the bigger circle, the circle of Christ. We believe that it's even better to get closer into the other circle. So at Pioneer Community Church, we have three different kinds of circles that I want to encourage you this morning to consider, to think about getting involved in, because the closer you get to that small circle, the harder it is for you to fall and have nobody there to pick you up. So here's the other circles. So we talked about being a follower of Jesus being the big circle, and then we have PCC being the second circle. So in the next circle here, we have these things that we call ministry groups. Now, ministry groups are, these are the people who are working together and they're serving together. They include our missions team. And, you know, there's a missions committee, and they include the team that's going to Jamaica next month, the missions for health team. And these people are working together. They just naturally, of working on a common project together, they are part of this team, this close-knit group of people. And the missions for health team, for instance, when they go out and they spend a week in Jamaica, you better believe that they come back knowing each other a whole lot better than when they first left or when they first got together. So they include that. They include our camp committee. They include our worship team. They include other members of the prayer team that meets on Monday nights. When you get on that phone call every Monday night and you hear people sharing, and you hear them share their failures, and you hear them share their successes, you hear them share their fears, and you hear them share their doubts, when you hear them share their prayer requests, oftentimes that pops in your mind like, hey, I can help them up. And you are the instrument of God many times, so you gotta go out there and reach them up. So we have ministry groups, but we also have a tighter circle, that's in the purple circle here. We call that mentoring or teaching groups. And that includes, like, think of the purple group as the mentoring and teaching group. That includes like our Pioneer Kids programs next door, right? So you are getting together with some people to impart some knowledge on them, something that you have learned already, something you have experienced, something that you can teach to folks below you. It could be, we talk about when people have financial issues, we want to send them to like financial counseling. It's people who run a financial counseling ministry where they can impart upon people the knowledge that they have learned. And so when you are part of a teaching and mentoring group, there's an interaction and a discussion that occurs. And so you learn and you share from each other. It's like, no, don't do that. No, don't do that. Yeah, you can keep doing that. Yeah, that one's keep. No, don't do that. And that's what you learn from them. Or Refresh Youth. Youth group is like that. It's one of those groups that where the team, the college age students who have gone through it before, mentors the younger ones and says, I've been there. Yes, I too have smoked a joint. If you don't know what a joint is, a spliff, a bong. All you guys are church people. None of you guys know what that is, right? Except Gary. It's the biggest laugh. That's all right. You're the only honest one back there, man. See, you know. So, we have a number of these groups operating, and we're looking for people who want to start them all the time. Or one of our sisters, Gail, she decided that she was going to start a group for teenage girls. And so she started a group for teenage girls. Our sister, Patrice here, she started a dual group. I say the group has two functions. It's both purple and it's both green, which I'm going to talk about in a second. It's a group for ladies between the ages of 25 and 30-something. I don't remember what the upper limit is. It's not quite 40, so it's 30-something. And so we have those groups where we're like Patrice and my wife Donna, who have gone through some things before, as impart some knowledge that they have with this group. But we also have a third group, which is really the group where if I could wave a magic wand, I would get everybody into this group. And this group is what we call the PCC small groups. They're like really tight-knit, and they're 12 people or less that we try to have it in there, right? And so we have like four of these going on right now. We had three, you know, George runs one, and Max runs another one. And our sister Dell runs another one with some other people. I'm just calling out names of some people that quickly comes to mind. And again, the one that Patrice started for the... Patrice didn't name them. I have a name for them. I call them YAL, Young Adult Ladies. All right, so if you ever see anything say YAL, that's what I call them until I get another name. So YAL, YAL. It's not like y'all, it's like YAL. And so we have these groups, and our design, our belief is that circles are better. Circles are better. And we really want you to get involved in a circle. So I decided to say, okay, what are the circles that we have operated in PCC? And how could I encourage you to say, hey, get involved in one of these circles. And if you don't see a circle there, you say, hey, I have a gift and I can share something with somebody or have a burden about a particular area, I'll do it. So here's a list of the circles that we have going on at PCC right now. You may not be able to see it, or if you can. And these are the circles that we have. And we're saying, get involved in a circle because circles are better. And the purple, you know, they're color-coded in each. And so there'll be a sign-up sheet out front that says, Hey, I want to get involved in a circle. You could say, I want to get involved in a mentoring group. I want to get involved in a teaching group. I want to get involved in a ministry group. Hey, just say, because anything is better than nothing at all, and the tighter the circle is the more you'll be able that when the stumbling blocks come your way and when you fail, because we all do, and if you say you don't, then you're lying. And it's not good to lie in church because a lightning bolt can come true. Well, you know, it's what my mother used to tell me when I was growing up. If you lie, boy, a lightning bolt's going to come true and strike in your head. So every time I tell a lie, I kind of look up and I just stand to the side. Just in case, you know, God has bad aim. But when the stumbling blocks come, there'll be somebody there to pick you up. To pick you up. And so, in a moment, we're going to be closing. But I want to leave you this. I want to leave you with this before we close. This is my instruction to you this morning. Get into an inner circle. I can't stress enough. I stand up here every Sunday and I tell you things that I have found to be helpful because the Bible says so and I've tried it and it works. Usually what I've told you, what I tell you in the morning, I've tried it and it works. And if I'm struggling with it, I'm honest enough to tell you that, yeah, That's still one of my struggles. But getting into an inner circle, getting into inner circles. So that's my instructions. That's my takeaway for you this morning. Get into an inner circle. If you are outside and you're looking that way, the first circle that you need to get into is just say, hey, I don't know about this. You can say, I don't know about this Christianity thing. I don't know about this. But Jesus is I like Jesus. He's a pretty cool guy. He had some good things to say. Just turn around and look and say, I'm going to decide to follow Jesus. And you start reading about Jesus, the life of Jesus, and doing the things that Jesus did. And I'm convinced that you will see that moving closer to Jesus is a whole lot better than moving further away from Jesus. And I'm convinced of that. So if you haven't made that decision, all I'm asking you to do today is says, make a decision. I have decided to follow Jesus. If you are in that big purple circle, I'm asking you to get involved in an inner circle. And here's the reason why. One, it's the only way this church can grow in a healthy manner. It's the only way. Most churches in the United States, 95% of churches in the United States are 300 people or less. And the reason why that is because they don't have a system of small groups where mentoring happens. The church gets too big, nobody knows each other, everybody, you know, kind of says, it doesn't feel good anymore, my needs aren't being met, you know, let's go through this whole thing. The next group of people, the average size church in the United States is 85 people. And the reason why that is because people want to be ministered to. They want somebody around to lift them up. But if the church is going to grow, you need circles as the church grows to have people reach out to you, because I can't be everywhere. Pastor Don, Pastor Charles, our deacons, they can't be everywhere. So you need people around you. So one of the reasons why you want to get in, it's the only way the church can grow healthy. The second is where real life occurs and great friendships develop. If you're sitting in this church today, right, whether you're a member of this church or not, whether you come here or not, and you have no great friends, get involved in a group. It's where real life occurs and where real friendships develop. And the final thing is it ensures that you're someone to pick you up. When you're involved in a group, you won't fall through the cracks. There'll always be someone to come beside you and pick you up. And if you're in a group, because occasionally this happens, and people say, man, I'm not, this is not resonating with me, this is not kind of not my group, then what do? Find another group. Don't throw away all groups, just find another group. Because pity anyone who falls, and there's no one there. Relationships. Life is better together, because living life solo is a definite no-no. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to thank you, Lord, that you are who you say you are, Lord Jesus. Lord, you have given us every instruction there is for a better life when we do it together. First starts with a life with you and continues with deeper relationships with each other. Lord, I pray that today that people will make a life change. Whatever it is that you need to work in their life, that they'll do that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Pray that everyone just have a great week in Jesus' name. Amen.